bunch tonight. Praise the. You know what must have happened is you ever gone to bed? You know, it's a crazy phenomenon. The more I eat, actually the hungrier I get. Like the next day, if I pig out the night before, I wake up so hungry the next day. It's the weirdest thing. You all have must have just been pigging out on the Word since we've been telling you to fill up on the Word. And you've come and you're just so hungry. For more, amen, hallelujah. It's just so wonderful to see people respond. You know, more than a handful of people have come up to me and they just have said, Pastor, we sense something in this place. We sense something is about to happen here. And I'll tell you what, you're hearing from God, amen. He wants to do a great and mighty work in this church and in this area. And we're going to see the miracles of God. We're going to see the hand of God in this area. It's not going to be the same for people. It's not church and religion as usual. We're going to bring back the book of Acts. It never should have gone away. That was God's template for the church and for the earth. And for some reason, people, you know, they laid down those plans and went with man's plans. And then it got kind of dry. And we don't want dry church anymore. We want miracles, signs, wonders. We want victory and peace and joy. And I'll tell you what, if we can just get a small group of people to get hungry. You know, the disciples were so hungry, they changed the earth. And we might say, what can we possibly do here in South Dade? I'll tell you what, we have more than 12 in here. We can change Cattaraugus and Chautauqua County just from us in here, just for people praying and hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And so it's just so wonderful to see everybody taking the things of God seriously. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going on to more. We are going on to more. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 24 is where we're going to start tonight. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, and many people come from different backgrounds, and you know, you're really hooping it up there at the end of worship, and people might think, man, is that normal? Is this a crazy crew? Well, we are fools for Christ, so yeah, we are crazy. Paul said he was a fool for Christ, so it's good company to be in, to be a nutcase for Jesus, right? That's what we are. We're nutcases for Jesus. But, you know, if you look at heaven, and you look into heaven, and we get glimpses into heaven, heaven's not a quiet place. It's a boisterous, loud place with rejoicing and praising and excitement and victory. Amen? You know, people that have had visitations where they've seen into heaven, where the Lord has permitted them to see, they say it's almost like a pep rally going on, where people are just excited about the Lord, excited about the things of God. You know, not ashamed. It's okay that you're happy that you don't have to go to hell. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's okay to be happy about. Amen? That's okay to shout about and to get excited about. And so, praise God. Let's pray and believe God for utterance, for boldness tonight. We want what He wants tonight. You know, you all came out here with individual needs, different circumstances, situations, different seasons in your life. He knows what you need. I sure don't. So we better ask Him for His help. Amen? Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful. And Father, we're not shutting, turning the levels down. We're going to keep them amped up for the message, for whatever you want to say, Lord, whatever you want to do. We're open to it, Father. We're all about your will, your plan. And so, Father, help us tonight. Now, Lord, as I open my mouth to speak, I thank you. You do fill it. According to your word, you fill it with boldness. According to your word, you fill it with utterance. And so, Father, we thank you that what needs to be said will be said. What needs to be done will be done here tonight. And Father, we won't miss anything. We'll walk out of here exactly what we came in for. We'll get it tonight, Father. Exactly what you had planned for us, we're going to get it tonight. And so, Father, thank you. So help us tonight. Lord, I thank you're going to speak to every single person here tonight. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. Father, we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Wasn't that so awesome last week having Pastor Michael here? And again, he'll be here Sunday, October 1st. For those who don't know, he is my pastor. He's the pastor of the Fredonia Family Church. And, you know, I love what he shared about the power of words. You know, I always say that's one subject. You could teach it once a month and it wouldn't be enough. Amen. I don't think people realize how powerful what they say is. You know, that's how God created the whole universe, is by His words. And He says the way we're going to create our universe and our life is through our words. And it seemed good in my spirit this afternoon to kind of piggyback off of what He was saying. He preached on Mark 11:23, which basically says you'll have what you say. And then Mark 11:24 says this, and this is where we're going to start. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So verse 23 says you can have what you say. Verse 24 says you can have what you pray. And those might be the two. I don't think there's any more wonderful things that's ever fell from Jesus' mouth concerning the subject of faith as Mark 11:23 and Mark 11:24. And it basically tells us in these verses that the natural doesn't have to stay the same way. And we're thankful for that, right? Amen. But I want to piggyback on that and just hammer some things home and to really kind of brand you with this, because this verse, Mark 11:24, Brother Hagin, who is the minister who passed away in 2003, went home to be with Jesus, was the founder of the Bible school that I went to in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, is responsible for thousands and thousands of ministers and thousands of churches being sprung up all over America, all over the world, because of that man's faithfulness, the revelation of he got on the Word, and his faithfulness and willingness and obedience to preach what God put on his heart. And so many of us are benefiting from it. Some of you that get benefited from this church don't realize. Now again, Brother Hagin had his influences and fathers and different things in the faith, but he was our main influence. A lot of people that come in, they get blessed. You have to understand that the root of the family churches, the root of the word that we're getting today, came from his faithfulness years and years ago to preach it, to start a Bible school. Then Pastor Michael got connected with him at that school, and he learned and then was able to teach, and then I'm able to teach it. And so we're so thankful. But Brother Hagin, he built his ministry on Mark 11:24. This was the verse that raised him off of his deathbed. Remember, he had an incurable heart condition, and he was bedridden for a lifetime. They said he was going to die young, and the doctors told him that there was no hope, no help for him. And so he had a Bible, and he began to dig through the Word, because there was nobody that had any revelation of the Word. Ministers would come, and they didn't give him any hope, any encouragement. They would tell him, "You need to get him ready for his funeral. He's going to die. He's not going to make it." So he began to search through the Word, and he found this verse, Mark 11:24. And he found, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire." Well, I bet you, I can only imagine, I've been in a similar situation in a bed, but not, I'll get to that in a second, where I was at, but not exactly in his condition. But he said, you can't describe when you're in a condition, especially as a young person, and everybody else is running around playing, and you're strapped to a bed, and you can't get out, and you can't go do anything. He said, you wouldn't believe the desire that you have for wellness when you're in that position. So he read that. He said, wow, the Bible says, whatsoever things you desire. Well, I desire to be whole. I desire to be well. He says, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And that's the verse we're going to talk about tonight, because light bulbs went off in him. And he did something with the Word of God, and it changed his situation. But here's what I want you to understand, is it didn't change. His situation didn't change. He was born again. He was a Christian. He was a child of God, but yet he was laying in his sickbed, getting ready and preparing to die, yet God loved him. God cared for him. He was just as much a child of God as the well person walking down the street. But it wasn't until he got the revelation of the verse, and until he did something with the Word of God, that it cooperated with the power of God, and then it worked. Amen? I think the example that the Lord gave me years ago, I was so thankful to be able to work in the oil and gas fields and to get an idea about this. We talk about this. The oil and the gas is what you want to get out of the ground. That's the power. That's the energy. That's the resource. That's where the money comes. That's where the investments get paid off and people make the money and are able to power things with that. How many of you know that oil and gas is always in the ground? It's always in the ground, but you don't get it out until someone taps into it, right? It's the same way with the power of God. Do you think God's power was present to heal Brother Hagin days before he got healed? Absolutely. Do you think the power of God was present to heal Brother Hagin a week before, 10 days before, 2 weeks before, a year before? Absolutely. It was always available, but somebody had to tap into it. And he tapped into it when he got this verse. It was a light bulb, and he tapped into the power of God, and it raised him off a deathbed. Praise God. Well, I've had significant encounters with this verse, financially and physically. Of course, I don't need to go into detail, but everybody that's been around here for any amount of time knows my financial testimony. Say, why do you always talk about that? Well, when next time you're $2,000 short for almost 2 years, and you pay everything on time, all the time, every time, and you get $60,000 worth out of debt, I'm going to guess you're going to tell it too. Amen. The reason I tell that one the most is because that's the greatest financial trial I've ever been in. Amen. And so, but how did I get through it? It all stemmed from this verse and the light bulb that I had in this verse. When I realized this verse, now I had realized this verse years before I knew this stuff had operated and saw it in a measure. And so when I encountered that test, the way he encountered that physical test that seemed impossible, he got through it because of a light bulb went off in this, because of this verse. Well, I got through that financial trial because a light bulb went off in this verse. I remember when I was on a sick bed, you know, they thought that I should have died when my appendix had ruptured. My appendix was ruptured for 3 days. The doctor said they'd never seen an appendix like that. The poison had gone through my body. They couldn't believe that I was alive. They told her and her family that were there, said, you know, it's amazing that he's alive. We don't know why he's alive. This is appendix. I've never seen one as bad. Well, the poison went through my body, and they told me that I was going to be a certain way for a year and have effects. They said, and some things won't even ever get better because you waited too long. Yet some things happened to your body that are going to be irreversible. Well, I knew what this verse said, and thank God a light bulb had gone off in this verse and it didn't have to be that way. So I want to make sure, because we saw last week the power of our words, but the power of our words combined with this verse, a light bulb can go off in you, and it can cause the sick to come off a sick bed. It can cause the poor to come off the poor bed. Amen. Whatever you desire, this is your answer. Praise God. But we got to get revelation on it. So let's look at this verse tonight. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now there's key words in this verse that you need to get a hold of. And the two main words in this verse that stick out that you have to get a hold of are believe and the word when. If you don't get a revelation on these two words in this verse, the words believe and the word when, the light bulb won't go off for you. Because that's when Brother Hagin got the revelation of it, when these two words came alive. Because notice what Jesus says in the verse. He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. So praise God, that's an all-inclusive thing. Amen. And doesn't just include spiritual things, but it can include a car, it can include a vehicle, it can include a sickness, it can include a bill, it can include things for your children, it can include a baby, it can include a spouse. Amen? It can include those things. Hallelujah. So thank God. But notice what he says, the answer or the secret or the key to getting these things is, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when, remember that key word, when, that's a location or that's a time frame, isn't it? So he tells us a specific time frame of something. He says, when you pray. So he says, when you pray, and then the second key word is believe. He says, when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. You believe when you pray. When you pray, you believe, is what he's saying here. And this is a light bulb that needs to go off in people. Because again, we have to follow heaven's way if we want heaven's blessings. I'm always amazed at people that think that they must just be more special than the Word. And they live and do things outside of the Word. And they constantly living and doing things outside the Word. And they say it's going to work for me, it's going to work for me. I remember talking with a gentleman. I've used this story many times. This was years ago. I was talking with a gentleman. How many of you know we've talked about in the Bible, we've seen examples of God's power showing up when people praise. We saw it in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 that when they began to praise and lift their voice and play music and praise God as one accord, the glory of the Lord filled the house like a cloud, and it was so strong and so thick that people couldn't even stand up in it. We saw when they praised, the walls of Jericho came down. Well, must be God's power knocked that wall down when they sent God a car to come get him. It was a praise car, right? And God hopped in that thing, came down, took down that wall. We saw it with Paul and Silas when they prayed. Well, I was praying and helping this guy, and this guy was talking about how bad it was and how they were struggling, and I got the revelation that he wasn't praising, that he wasn't lifting his voice, wasn't worshiping God. There was no power on the scene. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. And I started talking to him about it. He said, oh, I'm uncomfortable with that stuff. I'm uncomfortable. I said, well, you know, there's a lot of things we might be uncomfortable with in the Word, but we need to renew our mind to what God says, and we need to stay in the confines of what God says to do. When they lifted up their voice, the glory came in. When they lifted up their voice, the walls fell down. When they lifted up their voice, the chains busted off and the doors opened in the prison. See, that's the way it does. We got to follow biblical precedent. You want the chains to break off, you're going to have to praise. That's why I told him. I said, what does that look like? Raising your voice, lifting your voice, being unashamed, being more God-focused than man-focused, being more God-conscious than self-conscious. Lifted up your hands. And you know what they said? I'm not going to do that. I said, well, that's what the Word says. And this was their response. Pastor, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do it my way. I said, well, then enjoy having it your way. Because the way you've been having it hasn't been working. And I'm amazed that people that step outside the boundaries of the Bible and they still expect it to work for them. That's just stupidity. That is stupidity. And he says here, he says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. Not any other time, but at the moment you pray it or say it, you are to believe it. And it says, believe that you receive. When you pray, believe that you receive. Well, what is receiving? Receiving is having it.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah. We'll call a wide receiver in football team. You know, they're running. They're called receivers because they throw the ball and they receive the ball. Amen? Yes. They receive the football from the quarterback. Well, the Bible says when you pray, that's the moment you are to believe that you receive it. And the Bible says the result of you doing it that way is you will have it. Now, Brother Hagin was on his sickbed and he read that verse over and over. And it jumped off the page to him. And he yelled at his bed, I see it! I see it! I see it! I see it! I gotta believe that I'm cured of this incurable heart disease while I'm laying here sicker than ever before. I have to believe I'm healed. That's what the Bible said. And he said, if I don't believe that I receive it, if I don't believe that I receive it before then, I'm not going to get it. It's not believing it when it comes. We saw what Jesus said about those people. Those are Thomas type of faith. He said, blessed are the people that don't have to see it. Why? Why are they blessed? Because that's the ones that receive. But Brother Hagin said, I see it. I see it. I got to believe it. I got to believe it before I get up out of this bed. I got to believe I'm healed while I'm laying here. And the doctors tell me there's no way. Isn't that what the Bible says? Because it says, when you pray, believe you receive. Well, let's look at it common sense wise. Isn't the moment you pray your moment of desperation? Isn't the moment you pray in the time of when you're in need? Well, if he says you have to pray, you have to believe when you pray it, he's saying you got to believe when it doesn't look like it. You got to believe when there's no hope, because that's why you're praying in the first place, because there's no hope. And he said, I see it, I see it. And so he started to incorporate different things in what we're going to look at tonight of how you can know that you believe, or we'll say it this way. Tonight we're going to look at biblical signs that we believe when we pray. Right? We've been looking at faith checkup things. We've been kind of examining our faith. Must be God's getting us ready to receive some big things, personally and church-wise. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can already say this to you, that you know, Brother Hagin said this. He said when he saw that the devil spoke up to him, on, you know, you get thoughts, you know, the devil works through thoughts. And the devil said something along the lines of, you know, if you want to get the full testimony on this, look at, I believe in visions. It tells about in the beginning. But, oh, look at you there. Oh, how cute you are, you know, basically saying, paraphrasing, how confessing you're healed while you lay there sicker than ever before. You know, your situation, your circumstance will talk to you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Things will talk to you. Praise God. Well, that's okay. They can talk all they want. You know, the devil can talk. A liar can lie. Just because they say it a lot doesn't mean they're true. Amen. But anyways, here we go. When you pray. Are you ready for some signs that you believe, that you actually are believing when you pray? Because there'll be signs if you actually believe it. Number one, are you ready?
Amen.
Your words, this is kind of what we looked at last week with Pastor Michael and times before, but we'll just reiterate it. Your words will line up with what you're believing for. Amen. Your words will line up with what you're believing for. Remember there over there, we'll turn over there real quick in Matthew 12 and verse 34. We saw this principle. Matthew 12 and verse 34 says, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now what's the big deal of the abundance of the heart? Go with me real quick to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Romans 10 and verse 10. Why is it a big deal of what's in our heart? Because that's where faith starts. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then we know by looking at faith and the confession doctrine. And with the mouth confession is made. But notice this. The confession is made unto the promise doesn't come before the faith starts in the heart. So the problem, if you go back to Matthew 12, 34, where he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. When you start, whatever you're saying is basically a billboard of what you're actually believing. Right? Remember the sponge example? If the Bible says faith is of the heart, and the Bible says whatever big inside your heart will spill out of your mouth, if doubt and unbelief is spilling out of your mouth, you can stand there all day until you're blue in the face and try to convince me that you're in faith. You're not in faith. It's like somebody dipping a sponge in grape Kool-Aid and pulling it out and pressing on it. What's going to come out? Grape Kool-Aid. And saying, no, I dipped that sponge in milk. I dipped that sponge in milk. No, you didn't. If you dipped that sponge in milk, milk would come out of it. What's inside it came out of it. And when you're walking around talking, it's never going to work. It's so hard and things are tough. And you wake up and say, I'm so sore. You know everything Pastor Michael was saying last week. I'm so sore. It never works out. Things are so bad. Things are hard. Things are tough. The economy's tough. The world's holding me back. You'll have what you say. Well, why are you saying those things? Because that's what's inside you big. Because what's inside you big, the Bible says, will spill out of your mouth. But the faith person, they won't talk like that. The faith person will call it the way it's going to be. The faith person will call it the way it's going to turn, glory to God. So how do you know that you believe when you pray? Number one, a good sign of it is, what are your words saying? How's your talking? And you could say it this way too. Not only what you're saying, but how it sounds when you're saying it. You can talk faith and really not be in faith. Trembling and sarcastic and sighing when you say it. You know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like this. It's not, you know, your child, when you say, go clean your room, they can agree with their mouths one of two ways. Right? They can say, yes, I will do that, or yes, I'm going to do that, in one of two ways. With sarcasm and stomping and huffing and puffing and mumbling, or they can say it with honor. Two different, same thing being said in two different ways. So you can say not only what you hear coming out of your mouth, but the way it's heard and the way it's presented also. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's like this. You can't fake what's on the inside of you. It's going to show up on the outside. So what are your words? Because remember, listen, folks, we've talked about this. Those things that you're endeavoring to enter into, maybe it's a home, maybe it's a car, maybe it's a job, maybe it's certain things of health, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a child, whatever it is, whatever you're endeavoring to enter into, if you're not in full faith that it's yours right now, you're not in full faith. And your words will be indicators of that. How do you talk about that thing that you have yet to walk into naturally? How do you talk about that? Is it out of fear and worry and it's never going to come? And it's so far away and it's taken so long. That's just showing what's in your heart. Or are you, it's another day, I'm another day closer. Oh, another second went by, I'm another second closer to walking into that thing in the natural. Your words show what your heart is saying. Hallelujah. Number two, go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, Brother Hagin got the revelation. I see it, I see it, I see it. I got to believe it. When I got to believe I got it when I pray it. And remember, when you pray it is when it's going to look like the worst of when you don't have it. Praise God. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. If you actually believed you received it when you prayed, your words would be different. And now number two, if you actually believed it when you prayed, because some of you might realize tonight, I got to go back and re-pray this thing. Right? I got to go back and re-release my faith. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Yeah, I'm going to stop and just say this. Don't mock the word of God. And run around and blame God, blame the faith message, blame your pastor, when you know darn well how you're talking in private. When you know darn well what you've been saying and the thoughts you've been having and y'all you've been grumbling in private. It doesn't matter what your church voice is and your church words. The word works. Don't pass it off onto God or the preacher or someone else is causing you to be hindered. No, your own doubt and unbelief is hindering you. Stop with the victim mentality. You know what the victim mentality is? Oh, the world's out to get me. It never works out for me. I'm always the one, the low one on the totem pole. Everybody's against me. Oh, I guess that you must not be a victor in Christ. I guess you must not be more than a conqueror. You must not be an overcomer. The greater one must not dwell on the inside of you then. Amen. You know what? Joseph had the world come against him, but he stayed in faith and stayed faithful to God, and it turned out for him in the end. Amen. Amen. He didn't sit around. Joseph didn't sit around and take a victim mentality. Remember, he got thrown into the pit by his brothers, and then they sold him into slavery. And then while he was in slavery, he works his way up, gets promoted, and then gets accused of immoral living, and he didn't do anything wrong there. And then he gets thrown into prison. Remember all that? He didn't sit there and complain and grumble and moan and groan. All the world's against me. Go ahead and take a victim mentality if you want, but that's not the faith stance. A faith stance says, I don't care what comes against me. It's turning around and I'm getting closer to it. Praise God, yeah. I just had to stop there because so many people, oh, this won't work for me, this won't work for me. Well, it's because you're not working it. Because the word always works. Now, that doesn't mean if you're in the midst of a test and trial that you're doing it wrong. But if you're in the midst of a test and trial and you're blaming and you're groping and you're complaining and you're griping, then yes, you're wrong. Faith doesn't grope and complain and moan and groan and sigh and walk around frustrated and walk around with everybody else has to be on eggshells because you're ready to snap. That's not how faith looks. Amen. So don't act like this just doesn't work for me. This message, I just want to laugh at people in a nicest way possible, if that's even possible. When they tell me, it doesn't work for me, Pastor, I think, oh, you special thing, you. You must be more special. You must be more special than the Word. Your situation is bigger and more powerful than God's Word. That's what people are saying. The Word will work if you'll work it. Amen. Now let's go back to verse 2. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said with John, look at us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. He was looking for money. But what I do have you, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately in his feet and ankle bones received strength. And this is what I want you to see. Did this guy receive? He did. He received his healing, didn't he? Oh, what does the Bible say? Therefore I say, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. Well, now we see a receiver of God's blessing and God's power. Look what the result is. When somebody receives from God, verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Amen. The second sign of whether you truly believed that you received when you prayed is, are you in praise and rejoicing about what you received? Because I guarantee when it shows up in the natural, you'll be rejoicing. When it shows up in the natural, you'll be praising. But God says you are to believe you got it before you see it. What's that look like? Brother Hagin on a sick bed. Father, I thank you, I'm cured. I thank you, I'm cured. I won't have to be in this sick bed for the rest of my life. I thank you, I'm strong from head to toe. Well, that's what he would say when it was manifested. Believe you receive. Are you moping, groping, and complaining and griping and down all the time? Or are you praising God for what you believed you received? If you're not praising, you didn't believe. Because we see that when somebody receives something good, oh, praise comes out of them. Excitement comes out of them. Praise God. I remember a couple ministers were believing God. They're desperate. You know, a certain amount of money they needed to come in, and they had somebody pledge a certain amount of money to them. And they're excited about it because it would meet the exact need of what they have. It was pretty desperate. And some big, generous giver had come to them and said, Lord, put this on my heart to give you this monthly. Well, when the person left, they started jumping and shouting, and all of a sudden they were both grieved. And the Holy Spirit said, this would have manifested a lot sooner had you done that when you prayed. Basically, why weren't you rejoicing before it showed up? That's what faith does. Yes. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What was he doing? As he was getting older and older and older, he was praising God for his child that was not there. Amen. I remember my first experience with Mark 11:24 that I really remember putting it to play was when I was at school in Oklahoma. You know, went out there, you know, I had just come off of 26 jobs in 2 years, quit them all, so unfaithful. This was before I was born again and Christian, you know, immoral, no integrity, no character, couldn't rely on me, unfaithful, disobedient, you know, all those things. And so when I went to Bible school, my family didn't want to help me. You know, I had told them I was going to be about everything you could be under the sun. I went to different colleges and different things for different majors. I tried to be a speech pathologist. I tried to be a gym teacher. I tried to be a regular teacher. I told them I was going to Alaska to be a professional fisherman. I mean, you name it, I told them, amen. I was going to do all this stuff, and now I said I'm going to be a preacher. And they said, you're on your own. And so when I went to Oklahoma, I didn't have any money on me, just had enough for my first month's rent to get by, and I didn't even have enough for my tuition. I had to get a job for my tuition. And early on, you know, my truck broke down, and I didn't have a way to get to school, and I was just had enough to pay my bills and my tuition at the time when I got a job. My truck broke down, so now my truck broke down, and my tuition's coming due. And I'm in a hurting place. My family's not going to give me money. They think it's just another one of Mike's, you know, stints that he does. You know, just another thing he's going to do. It. He'll be back. And so I didn't call them. Knew it wasn't going to help. So I said, I'm in trouble here. And I remember this verse being taught to me. I remember I'm at a faith Bible school. Praise God. In fact, so much so that when Brother Hagin died, I went to his viewing. I went to his funeral as well. But in his viewing, lines and lines of people. But when you got up to the casket, there was opened his personal Bible with Mark 11:24 resting there. I thought, my God, I remember this verse. I remember this verse. And so I said, I was in my apartment in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma on Kenosha Street. And I said, Father, I said, Mark 11:24 says, if I whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe that I receive and I'll have them. I said, Lord, you called me to this Bible school. I have a desire to pay my truck. I have a desire to pay for my tuition. And my thought was, I'll pay for my tuition first because I it's coming due quicker. And I'll pay for my tuition. I had a little bit of money left over for the truck. I had to pick what I was going to believe God for. And I chose to pay for the truck because without the truck, I can't get to the school. And so I said, I believe God for the tuition. And I remember sitting in my apartment with my Bible open to Mark 11:24. I said, Father, I desire that this tuition be paid. And I said, Father, I thank you for $300. You could pay it monthly, I believe it was, or every other month, whatever it was. And mine was coming due, you know. And I said, Father, I thank you for $300. I said, I believe I receive it. Now, because I believe I receive it, Father, if that money were to show up, I'd be rejoicing and jumping and shouting and thank you. So you know what I began to do in my apartment in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma on Kenosha Street? I began to jump and shout and praise God that the money was there. Glory to God. What was I doing? I was believing that I received it. I was convinced the money was mine, yet it was nowhere to be found. But that's how faith works. So if you're not rejoicing over what you're believing for, then you're not really in belief. Because people that receive, they walk and praise and leap, praising God. And the next verse says, all the people saw him walking and praising God. He didn't care who saw him. He's just rejoicing about what God's doing. So number one, your words will show you whether you're believing. Your praising God will tell you if you're believing. Hallelujah. And now let's go to number three. Go to James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Believe you receive when you pray. God is saying, I want you to act and believe that you got it just as much when you don't have it as when you do have it. That's the revelation that Brother Hagin got the power of God into his life. Why? He got the revelation of faith. Praise the Lord. James 2 and verse 14 says this. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he have faith and have not works? Go down to verse 17. Let's save time. Even so, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. You say, what is a work of faith? Well, there's not just one general, paint it with a broad stroke, work of faith. There's different situations and different circumstances. But if you're in faith, there'll be some sort of work pointing to that shows I believe I receive it. Let me give you an example. I'll give you a biblical one and one in my own life. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, now notice this, of things not seen as yet. The rain and the intensity of the rain, they had not seen anything like that on the earth. Moved with fear, that's a reverent fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Well, here, Lord could have said to him, hey, this is going to happen. Noah could have said, we've never seen rain like that. It seems ridiculous to go out and to start building an ark. But remember, faith without works is dead. I have a fireplace in my office that I've still yet to use. I've been there in 4 or 5 years, still haven't used it yet. But I like the way it looks. And it's in my office at home. That's where I do the majority of my work. And above my fireplace, I just recently, now in my office, I got 4 whitetail. Now, I apologize if you're an anti-hunter or if you're a member of PETA. Mercy on me tonight, okay? Don't be upset with me. We eat when we kill, and we give it away and things like that. So we're doing good with it. And so I got 4 deer heads on the wall. I got a bear standing in my office that sometimes at nighttime, if I wake up or get groggy and go up there and see that thing, it's like, oh my gosh, what in the heck? Oh, that's that bear. Oh yeah, and start ready to attack it with a baseball bat. I got one that's coming that's going to be on the floor in a rug manner. And now above my fireplace, I have a moose. Amen. But it's not like you think. It's a picture of a moose. Why? Because that's where the real one's going. And by faith, I put that thing up there. Because I sent a picture to Pastor Tim. I said, this will do for now. In caps, I put the word now. For now. Because it's not going to stay that way for long. That moose is going to end up becoming 3D moose. And he's going to stick out of the wall someday, praise God. And by faith, I'm already looking for the spot to put the picture when the real one goes up there. Now, why am I doing that? Yes, I like the picture, but for me, it's an act of faith to throw that thing up there and say, that's where my moose goes, praise God. Amen? Let me give you some other examples. People believe in God for homes. People believe in God for houses and to move. They'll pack some boxes as an act of faith that they believe. People believe in God for a baby. We'll start buying baby clothes. If they're really believing, if you really believe you receive it, why wouldn't you buy the baby clothes? Why wouldn't you go shopping? Why wouldn't you go shopping for the paint in the nursery? Or go pick out swatches? Ladies or gentlemen believing to be married. Ladies, you're believing for marriage. Why wouldn't you look for your perfect dress? Or see how you want to do your hair? Because the thoughts of fear come. What if it isn't going to happen? What if it isn't going to happen? What if it isn't going to happen? No. Get out there in faith. Step out and do something in faith. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. The only reason you won't do it is because if you're in fear that it won't happen. But see, if you already believed you received it, you'd be already preparing and getting things ready. Amen. Amen. You'd be getting things ready. Faith without works. Why did Abraham? Why did Noah get the ark ready? He believed what God said. So he moved. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. You do something as an act of faith, praise the Lord, to show that I believe it. And it wouldn't even have to just be an act. If you truly believed it, you do it. Amen. Because let's face it. If the pregnancy test shows up positive, or the man or the woman shows up and they ask you to marry, you are then going to make preparations for it. Why? Because it's naturally manifested. But God says, I want you to believe it before it shows up. Faith without works. Faith without works. What works do you have right now that would be able to, people be able to point to and say, they're believing God for something? Do you have any? Come on, do you have any? Because everybody that comes up in that office and says, you see that moose? That's going to become 3D moose. Yeah, you say, what do you mean 3D moose? Well, just wait. You're going to see that thing protruding on the wall soon. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's true. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. You know, there's different things I'm believing God for that I don't have the money for right now, or I haven't manifested in my life. But I'll use this as an example. You know, my truck that I have, to me, I would never want anything different. I'm thankful. I got the vehicle of my dreams. God blessed me with a truck. I'm so thankful. But there was a time in my life I didn't have that truck, and I drove around a truck with holes in it. And I remember one time my truck was so beat up and so old, I threw a snowball right through it. And I'm telling you the truth. The thing put a hole right through it. You say, man, you got a good arm. No, that's how bad the truck was. And I want a truck, and believe in God for a truck. So you know what I would start doing? Because I'd be so upset about things. And let me just throw this in there as an extra point. Let me get back to the truck and what I did here in a second. So don't let me forget that. Someone mentally make a note. Get back there. But you know how else you know when you're in true faith? When it doesn't bother you when other people around you get the blessing, but you're excited for them. Because why are you upset? Yours is coming. You already believed you received yours. But so many people are so jealous. How do I know I was that guy? I was believing God for a truck. And yet other people would get one, and I'd be so mad. I'd be so upset, get so angry. Not love on them and be excited for them, but upset. Why didn't that happen for me? Why isn't that happening for me? Everybody else is having a baby. Everyone else is getting married. Everyone else is getting this. Come on! When you're in true faith, you'll rejoice when it happens for other people. You will. You'll be excited for other people because you know yours isn't coming. It's not like when you are complaining, it's almost like you're believing, oh, God left me out. No, he didn't. Praise God. So anyways, back to the truck thing. I got over being a big fat baby. You know, sometimes you got to get over being a big fat baby. I was a big fat baby, man, just complaining, grumbling, and griping about everything. You had to get over that. So then, instead of being excited, what I would do in my old truck and the old vehicles we'd have, I'd drive by brand new ones. And I'd look and I'd point to those things. I'd say, one day, one of those is going to be mine. Because all that is a hunk of metal sitting on four pieces of rubber. That's all it is. And I'd take the price tag out of it. I'd say, they're making these things all over the world. This ain't no big thing. And I started to make that mountain that was so big, so much smaller, and by God, so much bigger. What was that? Was a work. What I would do, and she'll testify this, I'd drive down Washington Street in Jamestown, just go looking at brand new trucks, even though the price tag was way out of my price range. No way on earth at that time could I naturally afford it, and say, one of these is mine someday. One of these is mine. And I'd take them for test drives, and I'd sit in them, and I'd picture myself in them. Why? Faith. 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 Faith without works is dead. What works do you have that you actually believe in, it's going to come to pass? Amen? Amen? So number one, your words. Number two, you'd be praising God if you actually believe. Because, Michaela, real quick, go back to Mark 11, 24. I just want to remind you. Mark 11, 24. Because remember, if you're going to get what you're believing God for, he says, when you pray, you must believe you have it. When you pray, he said, when you say in verse 23, you shall not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which he saith. When you say it and pray it, you got to believe it's yours. And when you say it and pray it, naturally, it's not. But God says, you got to believe that it's yours. You got to get in that faith. So number one, your words will line up. Number two, you'll be praising God. Number three, you'll have works to go with it, because faith without works is dead. And number four, are you ready? Go to Romans chapter 4. Let's say, here's the thing you're believing for over here on my right hand. And here you are, and you're moving towards that thing you're believing for. And you're moving towards it in faith, and you're believing God. Number four point is this. Any change in the natural will not move you. What do I mean? Here you are believing for this, and this is where it's at. All of a sudden, wake up one day, and something broke down, and now it's way down here. Or something, situation has turned, and now it's way... You know what I'm talking about. You know when Nebuchadnezzar turned up the furnace seven times hotter on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They thought it was going to be one way, and it got seven times worse. That's what I'm talking about. You're believing God for finances. One day you wake up and your finances are seven times worse. You're believing God for a situation to turn, and you wake up one day and it's seven times worse than it was. If you're truly in faith, and if you truly believed it when you prayed it, that won't move you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 4. Now remember, Abraham told he's going to have a baby when he's 75. When you're going in that direction, baby chances don't go up. They go down from age 75. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, there was a change every single day, every single week, every single month that the baby didn't show up. Naturally, it got worse and worse and worse. But the Bible says he considered not the natural. Why? He already had received it way back. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I remember the only thing I could think of, well, one thing that came in my heart about it, and the only thing I can really think of as I meditate on that, is when you go deer hunting, you can be, let's say there's going to be a north wind, and say it's coming, it's blowing in your face, and you're expecting the deer to come out from in front of you. Well, then a north wind would be good, because then the deer scent's blowing at you, and your scent's blowing this way away from the deer. And you could be in a tree stand, and all of a sudden the wind can shift to a south wind or something, and then all of a sudden it's blowing, and it stressed you out. It gets you all frustrated because, oh, great, because a deer's sense of smell is unbelievable. It's just amazing how they could pick it up. I had one time a giant buck in New York State. I'm talking about ones they shoot in Illinois, ones they shoot in Iowa. I rattled with my rattle bag to make it sound like two bucks are fighting. And then I'm, bruh, bruh, that's a grunt call to let them know their buck's there. And all of a sudden this slob of a deer, that's the only way I could explain him, starts coming through the woods. And his rack is just, I mean, it's one of those where it's just like, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me right now. Help me. Help me, Lord. Grab him by the antlers and bring him over. You know, he's just bobbing his head through the woods. He doesn't even have his head lifted up. Probably would give him a headache to try to lift that thing up, you know. Just coming through the woods. And he's coming directly to where he heard it. But what I noticed, now my wind, he's coming from in front of me. And my wind's going this way. I'm thinking, oh, I'm in the chips, I'm getting ready. All of a sudden, he stops at a distance where I can't shoot him and circles to right where my wind's going to get downwind to me. He was smart. He wasn't just going to come in to where he heard the sound. He was going to circle around the sound and get into his wind. And he got down my wind to me and, phew! Blow and went, and there it was off. My dreams went down the drain. And that can happen when you're hunting. I've had so many times the wind direction will change, or deer come in from downwind, and it messes you up and it frustrates you. But then I found a device. Now, I'm not up on all the gadgets, but I had a friend who I trust, who I think's the best hunter I've ever met. He's the gentleman at the archery shop that I hunt with. I mean, just the things that he does and how meticulous he is. I saw him using a thing. I thought, that thing doesn't work. It's called Ozonics. And what this thing is, it's a gadget that you screw into the tree. Now, if you're a purist and a natural hunter, you're going to hate me. Bringing all these gadgets out in the woods and stuff like that, you know. And I kind of feel how you feel that way to a degree. But you get these huge bucks that smell you, you just get ticked off. Say, what do I need to do? You know, anyways. And so it's called Ozonics, and you screw it into the tree above you. And it blows out, and it's battery operated, it blows ozone. And what it does is you want to point it in the direction that your wind's going. So if my wind's going this way, you point it this way. And so when it blows this way, and the deer, it's supposed to not let a deer smell. And he swore, he said, you wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. I said, fine, I'll get one and I'll use it. And I took that thing out. And one of the hardest deer to kill is an adult doe. An old doe is almost sometimes more wary than a buck. You know, with young ones, it's amazing how hard it is at times to get close to an adult doe. And it was a whole bunch of them came in, and they were directly downwind of me. I mean, my wind was blowing straight to them. It was warm outside that day, and so it was a whole lot of things that were going to make it not good for me. And I had this thing blowing, praise God. And it blew right to them. And they're standing there 20 yards away from me, wind going right to them, feeding, never even looked my direction. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't care which direction. Now when I use that thing, I don't care what direction the wind is. If I have a stand that I want to hunt and the wind's bad, I don't care. It doesn't move me. Well, I got Ozonix. When you're in faith, it doesn't matter which way the wind blows. Doesn't matter what happens to your finances. Doesn't matter that you're all of a sudden sailing towards a marriage. All of a sudden sailing towards a baby. All of a sudden sailing towards the finances you need. All of a sudden sailing towards your health. And the wind changes and blows you off course a little bit. And sets you back a little bit. Doesn't matter. It doesn't throw you off. You sit there unfazed when you're in faith. Just like, oh, I'm sitting there. Oh, no, my wind's blowing downwind where the deer are. Ozonix, I don't care. Doesn't move me. That's what faith will do. There's no change in the natural is going to move you. So, where were you the night or the day that you released faith in Mark 11:24 for whatever you're believing for? What has come along and blown the wind your way? Has it moved you off course of faith? If it has, you need to re-release your faith. Get back into faith. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Turn the fire up 14 times hotter. Doesn't matter. God's still good. Right. Turn it up 21 times hotter. Doesn't matter. It'll still come to pass for me. Amen. Amen. That's what faith does. And then we'll close on this. Romans 10:17. You say, well, you know, you won't get all this in one night. You need to go back and listen to this, or at least write these points down and go over these things in your life. Am I doing these things? And you know what I find? This is just the truth. If somebody walks up to you and gives you a check for $1,000, $10,000, you don't have to calculate in your head, okay, now I'm supposed to act happy. Now I'm supposed to be thankful. Now, when you receive, it just naturally comes out of you. When you're in true faith, it'll just, you'll just automatically praise. When you really believe you receive it, praise will be automatic. Your words will be automatic. You'll be automatically doing things to set up. Just like I said, if the pregnancy test shows or if the spouse shows up or the money's there, you are making preparations for whatever. It's the truth. And a person that's truly in faith doesn't have to sit there and think, okay, now I'm supposed to be happy. Now I'm supposed to praise. Now my words are supposed... No. You just... flows out of you. If you're not sure... of what you're believing God for. Because remember, the foundation of our faith is God's word. Amen? When the tests and trials rise up against you, how can a house stand, a house with no foundation? We've seen that in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said it's going to crumble. But a house with a foundation, right? What's the first thing they put down in a house? It's the foundation. They can have all these wonderful, beautiful things and huge bathrooms and extra rooms and all this, but they're all built on a foundation. No matter how pretty you paint it, all the stuff, if there's not a good foundation, you're in trouble. And the surest foundation for faith is God's word. Because if you have a word from God, that is your foundation to stand on. And when the tests and trials blow your way and all the things that tell you you can't have it and the situations and the devil tells you, if you don't have that foundation, Mark 11:24 is going to be very hard for you. If you say, because you might say to yourself, well, how do I know that my thing qualifies for it? Well, two ways. Number one, find a word on it in the Word of God. If you can't find a specific word, let's for example say you see a house that you want and you desire. You see a vehicle or a person, or you're believing God for something. Lord, I don't see an exact scripture for that specific thing. Lord, can I have that? You know, people going around, they see a pretty girl, a guy sees a pretty girl across the street. That's my wife. Oh, I confess that's my wife. Not unless God tells you that's your wife. Amen. Oh, that's my house. Oh, wait, but wait a minute. There's a family happily living in there. You can't just kick them out with your faith. Now, if God tells you, see, there were people already occupied in the children in the land of the promised land, and they couldn't just go in there and kick those people out unless they had a word from heaven. And the Lord said, no, they're in your land. You know, how many times has God, you've heard God tell stories to people, stories being told of people being told by God, this is yours, and somebody else is already there. Well, you don't go and try to make it happen naturally and try to move things and do things yourself. You just believe God, and God will make it happen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But what is it all based upon? A word from heaven. Yeah. So if you can't find it in the Bible and you're believing God for something specific that's not a specific scripture, you need to go before Him and say, Father, can I believe you for this? Is this your will for me to have it? And if you get a green light, bam, the foundation pad has been laid. Build upon that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, were you helped? Amen. Mark 11:24. We love it. We love it. We love it. Father, we praise you tonight and bless your name. We honor and glorify you. Thank you for helping us tonight, Father. Lord, I'm just going to admit this, not because I've never missed it or never have been wrong. You can bow your heads and close your eyes. But I'm going to say this publicly to help people. Because I think at times, and it's a wrong thought, and I sure hope I don't portray this way, I think a lot of times people can think that the pastor is always hitting the mark and is always doing everything right and never has a struggle and never has to, you know, I have to use faith just like you. I have to walk in love just like you. I have to be holy just like you. I have to do everything that you have to do the same way. I'm still as much human as you are. But even as I preached this message tonight, I see where some areas in my life need brushing up in faith. And that if I truly believed I received it, my actions would be different. So, Father, right now I repent and I get back into faith. True faith in those areas. And Father, I'll put these examples that were by the Word of God to play and to practice. And Father, I just pray that anybody else under the sound of my voice that realizes tonight, well, I've been moping and crying and groaning. I haven't been rejoicing. I haven't been saying the right things. I don't have any works. I've been too afraid to look at the bridal magazines. I've been too afraid to look at the baby catalogs. I've been too afraid to drive by a new car lot. I've been too afraid to go house hunting because I don't have the money. Maybe they'll say, I don't have a work to stand on. I'm not believing you. When things go sour, I just keep believing, well, it's just getting farther away. Well, then I pray, Father, they get back into faith. That they'd get that word from you and stand on that word and get so full of that word that they know that it's your will. And they would become so, Mark 11:24 becomes so real to them, Father, that they would release their faith and they would stand their ground until that thing shows up in the natural. Let's just praise Him for a second. Father, we love you tonight. If you need to repent for your doubt and unbelief, then do it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. If you need to repent, then repent for your doubt and unbelief. Father, we want to receive everything that you have for us because we want to increase to be a bigger blessing. That's our goal. And there's things that are waiting for us that are going to take our faith to get into. So if we have to believe it or receive it, then so be it. But then we'll get to that place. We love you, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm almost certain everyone in here is born again Christian, but somebody might be listening by live stream that isn't. Or listening on the archives in the future. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice right now, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I pray that you would not pass from this life until that you make Him your Lord. And it's simple. All you have to do is call on His name. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 9 how one gets saved. Confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You got to believe and you got to receive. And so if you're listening and you say, I've never called on the name of the Lord, I've never asked Jesus into my heart, well, it's not about being a good person or going to church or just knowing that Jesus existed. You have to believe that what he did was real, died on the cross, raised again, and you have to ask him to come into your life. That's what the Bible says. So if you're under the sound of my voice, you've never done that, I pray you wouldn't let another minute go by, but that you would call on the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. And I thank you for saving me. Receive him. And then let us know that you did, and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church where you can learn all that God has for you. Father, we love you. Let's just, as a corporate church, let's worship him together. Let's glorify our Father together. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the brush up, Father. We thank you for revealing things. We praise you tonight. We're just waiting on you. We just want to make sure, Father, that we're done. We love you and praise you. Is there anything else you want to do tonight, Father? Anything else you want to do tonight, Father? We bless you and honor you. We bless you and honor you. We bless you and honor you. We bless you and honor you, Father. Father, I don't have anything else in my heart, so we're going to disconnect right there. But we thank you and praise you. Now bless everybody as they go, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You're dismissed.